Healthy Alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. My name is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. What Healthy Alternatives is about is most of us really want to reach optimum levels of health and wellness. We want to feel better, live longer, and enjoy life even more, and that's what I attempt to bring you on each show of Healthy Alternatives. My guest today that I'm going to be interviewing in a little bit is Dr. Carolyn Dean. She's not an MD, she's a naturopathic doctor. She's the author of Magnesium Miracle, Future Health Now Encyclopedia, Complete Natural Guide to Women's Health, a total of 22 books. And we're going to be focusing in on magnesium, the missing link to better health, in this show. Every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue of concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you. What I'd like to talk about this week is the notion of sex. And this is whether or not men who have had heart problems, whether sex can be helpful or is it a risk. This was a study that was reported in Harvard Men's Health Watch. And what they did is they looked at the number of heart attacks men were having and the potential for it being triggered by sex and the excitement of that, and whether or not having sex could be dangerous or actually beneficial to the heart. What they found is it's not real helpful, but it's not real dangerous. For a healthy man who's 50 years old, the risk of having a heart attack in any 1 hour of having sex is about 1 in a million. Now, sexual activity doubles the risk, but that just makes it 2 in a million. For men with heart disease, it goes up to 10 times higher, but that's still only 20 in a million. So, having sex and your concern about a heart attack are really unfounded. Now, the flip side is if you're looking to get exercise from having sex, that ain't going to happen either. What they found in a study of 19 men that during sex, their heart attack rate increased only by about 72%, as much as it did on a treadmill, and blood pressure is only about 80% as high as spending that same amount of time on a treadmill. So that in the treadmill exercises, men were at a 4.6 level, and with sex it was a 2.7 level. And for women, sex is even less strenuous. So the sex for a man is the equivalent of like doing foxtrot, raking leaves, playing ping pong. It's not a whole lot of really good exercise. So the study basically is saying it's okay to have sex, but don't expect it to be counting it as really good exercise for yourself. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can go to teplitz.com, teplitz.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. On teplitz.com, I put out a free monthly e-newsletter, Health, Nutrition, Wellness Oriented. It has different things that I normally talk about on Healthy Alternatives. To sign up for that, when you go to teplitz.com, you'll see the Home About button. Click on that and you'll be able to click and sign up. Also, at the top of this page, you'll see Jerry recommends, and those are people, services, products that I think you need to know about, but they can be really helpful for you. So click there and you can take a look at that. Every week, I also like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough, the newest discoveries, latest information on healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, your family, and loved ones. What I want to talk about is a probiotic, Lactobacillus fermentum. And this was a study that was done out of Australia. And in this study, what they had were 64 male and 35 female competitive cyclists. Average age was 35. And what they wound up doing is giving this probiotic supplement or a placebo every day for 11 weeks. What they found with the male cyclists, that by receiving that daily probiotic supplement, they found they had a decrease in symptoms of upper respiratory tract infections that were 50% greater than the placebo group. And this study was published in Nutrition Journal. Now, the well-trained female athletes actually didn't get any benefits, and the researchers are kind of stumped about that. But basically what they're saying, at least for the men, they displayed a 7.7-fold increase in the number of Lactobacillus bacterium in their system from taking these probiotics. So it decreased the symptoms of respiratory illness, the duration, and the severity. So, and that was athletes. So for us general folks, you might want to look at taking probiotics for the guys. For women, it's unclear from this study what's going on, and some more research needs to be done about that. Before I bring on my guest, Dr. Carolyn Dean, I'd like to talk to you about one of my books, Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. Lots of stress around us, and it's impacting us all, whether we're aware of it or not. Just knowing a friend who was laid off, fired, back behind in their mortgage can cause you stress as well as that person. This book is chock full of techniques, tools that you can use to really get a handle and reduce that stress that you're experiencing. If you want to buy the book, you can go to Amazon.com or you can go on templates.com and see the products button at the top navigation and click on books. My guest today is Dr. Carolyn Dean. She is also a naturopathic doctor, and she's been inspiring and motivating people to be their healthy best. She's a health expert who was one of the first to see the coming obesity, diabetes, and chronic health issues epidemic in this country. As a result of modern farming methods, she saw the depletion of vital minerals and nutrients from our soil, and foods being the root cause of the health problems that over 75% of Americans are not getting their actual recommended daily allowance of vital nutrient magnesium. Carolyn has written 22 books, including The Magnesium Miracle, Future Health Now Encyclopedia, Complete Guide to Women's Health, and many, many more. She's been on ABC's The View. She's been interviewed on NBC and CBS. And she's medical director for the Nutritional Magnesium Association. And Carolyn, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here. And I know you have a stellar biography as well, you know, with working on stress. I didn't realize you were a brain gym instructor. I often recommend that book to clients for their children. So, with your work on stress, I can see how magnesium would be very helpful for you to get that across to your clients.
Well, let's start talking about magnesium, because people may not even know what it's about. And but the first question I have is, what got you first looking at the notion that what's being farmed isn't working?
Well, I guess it's because after medical school, I did my naturopathic training, and we learned a lot about nutrients there. And the question came, well, why should people take supplements? And this is back in the the late 70s before there were even health food stores in any number. So people really didn't have an understanding of why they should take something beyond their food. And as I say in my Magnesium Miracle book in the introduction, it was back in 1934 that a group of researchers and farmers came before Congress and testified that there just isn't the mineral wealth in the soil that we require to make our plants healthy and therefore to make our food supply healthy. This is back in the 30s, so people have been talking about it for a long while. So I picked it up in my naturopathic training, and then over the years I see it more and more that rather than looking at improving our food supply, remineralizing the earth and getting the right fertilizers in the soil, rather than doing that, then people will support a supplement industry. I mean, there may have to be both, but there's a real lack in our diet of the nutrients that we need.
So you were very, very early on recognizing the need for the nutrients in the soil, because back in the 70s, docs were saying, you know, it doesn't matter what you eat, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. So, right.
So you kind of really broke away real early and must have been considered either rebel or crazy, one of the two.
Yeah, a bit of both. And it just took a bit of reading to see the truth in it. But you had to go to medical school to know that we didn't learn anything about nutrition in medical school. We had the biochemistry, I was very fortunate because in my school, Dalhousie in Halifax, Nova Scotia, our dean of medicine was a biochemist, so he made the curriculum have 200 hours of biochemistry, and that's a lot of biochemistry. So I was able to see the biochemical interactions of the body requiring vitamins and minerals for every step of the way. So that just reinforced what I'd already been reading in health and nutrition books. And back then, I'll tell you, there wasn't much. You could read it all in a day. So I learned early, and I just kept on telling people that this is what you require, but not that you should go to the intravenous supplements and the IM supplements, because that's what allopathic doctors did. They went for the big guns. And it took away entirely from our naturopathic principles, which are, you know, first do no harm and work with the body, work with nature. And that's what I keep trying to get across to people, that you're responsible for your own health. You're responsible for what you put in your mouth. Nobody's forcing you to eat a McDonald's burger. You can go.
My mother made me do it.
Yes, exactly. You have no one to blame. I cannot eat for you. You know, I just the other day started this new routine. I have a Blendtec. It's like a Vitamix, and I boil up a bit of chicken broth. I'll put a couple of cups in my Vitamix and 4 or 5 cups of chopped vegetables and blend it up for 45 seconds, and I have an incredible hot soup. I mean, it does not take any effort to have a healthy diet.
So let me ask you a question on, let's turn to magnesium, and why is it important? What are my listeners need to know as to its importance?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the midwives called it the salt, and they used it in all their pregnant patients because it's a muscle relaxant. It also gives you energy. It calms the nervous system. And magnesium is responsible for the function of over 325 different enzyme systems in the body. And it's like from head to toe. Every muscle and every nerve in your body requires magnesium to function properly. And when you figure that the biggest muscle in the body is the heart, and if the heart isn't functioning properly, without magnesium, it goes into spasm and you have a heart attack. I mean, that's how serious it can be. Magnesium is also responsible for the bones being properly configured. If you just take calcium and think you're getting good bone health. No, it causes brittle bones if you have more calcium than magnesium, or if you don't have the right amount of magnesium. So, you know, we're talking about osteoporosis, heart disease, high blood pressure, even diabetes. We're talking about migraines, insomnia, depression, all the female conditions of painful periods, PMS, and even the conditions of the muscles, fibromyalgia and fibrositis, can be affected by magnesium deficiency.
Would Lou Gehrig's disease be affected by it as well?
It's hard to say. I mean, they say that's a genetic disease. What I do with that type of condition, I'll put people on heavy emotional balancing work, like the healing codes to work out the emotional causes of conflict in the body, and also work on nutrition. It's never one thing with those serious conditions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you were talking a little bit about the high calcium, low magnesium, and the difficulty with that. Can you
mm-hmm.
explore that a little bit more, like what would be considered the high calcium, what would be low magnesium side of the equation that you're looking not to
right.
be
in? Yes, that's a huge issue. And just today there was another big article about women who supplement with calcium alone are at risk of getting twice the number of heart attacks compared to women who don't take calcium supplements. And that's huge news. I mean, we're talking about a supplement that's been recommended for decades as the answer to osteoporosis, but in fact it doesn't help the bones because you don't also use magnesium, and it's causing heart disease. What's happening is calcium that's not neutralized or solubilized in the body with magnesium, that calcium precipitates in arteries and in muscle tissue. So precipitating in arteries means it's causing atherosclerosis, hardening of the arteries, and leads to heart disease and stroke and high blood pressure. So the calcium that we're taking in our diet ends up being much more than the magnesium we're getting. Calcium and magnesium are found in vegetables, in seaweed, in nuts and seeds. If you cook green vegetables, you burn off the magnesium, but you don't burn off the calcium. Magnesium is very volatile. I mean, if you remember science class in high school, you light a match to a strip of magnesium, it goes up like a firecracker, and actually that's what they use to make firecrackers, is magnesium. So we've got more calcium in the diet, we've got supplements, we've got fortification with calcium. Orange juice has calcium in it. Sports drinks have calcium. So we've got a ratio of calcium that leads to disease. There is a myth about a 2-to-1 ratio where you supposedly need 2 parts calcium to 1 part magnesium. But that actually is erroneous. We look back into that in France, a Dr. Jean Durlach, he said you should never exceed a 2-to-1 ratio of calcium to magnesium in the combination of food supplements and water. And somehow that got twisted. Maybe someone didn't know how to translate the French. And they said, oh, we need a 2-to-1 ratio. And we've gone way beyond that. We've gone to a point where we are totally overcalcified.
So before we continue, I'd like to remind you, you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and we'll be back with my guest, Dr. Carolyn Dean, after I share some other info with you.
I'd like to tell you about a DVD that I have called Par and Beyond, Secrets to Better Golf. This DVD I've had golfers purchase, just watch the DVD and go out and shoot personal best ever. It's showing you things that you can use with some of the techniques and approaches that I've discovered that can really make a difference in your golf game. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, and all you have to do to get it is go to golfhelp.info. That's golf-help.info, and you can get the DVD there.
So my guest today is Dr. Carolyn Dean. For over 25 years, she's been a medical doctor, she's a naturopathic doctor, she's been inspiring, motivating people to be their healthiest best. One of her key focuses has been magnesium, and on her website, she even has a free 32-page e-booklet, Magnesium, the Missing Link to Better Health. That's at nutritionalmagnesium.org, nutritionalmagnesium.org. And she's also the author of 22 books, including The Magnesium Miracle, Menopause Naturally, and a whole range of others. So let me ask you another question, Carolyn. How come, because of the importance you're saying that magnesium really has, how come we don't hear more about it?
I know. It's very, very frustrating. We don't hear about it because there's no standardized blood test that really gives an accurate reading of your magnesium in your body. Only 1% of the magnesium in the whole body is in the bloodstream. And we just do a blood test and say, okay, well, I guess it's normal. But the blood is kept normal by biofeedback mechanisms because it has to be at a certain range to keep the heart beating properly. So the research tool for magnesium measurement is the ionized magnesium test, and some of us are trying to push that test being utilized more so that we can get more accurate readings. So when doctors know they don't have an accurate test, they just don't bother. And they're not really tuned into magnesium deficiency symptoms. They don't even do routine magnesium tests, even the bad kind. And if patients ask for the test, they'll always be told, oh, you're normal, unless someone's really, really ill and really magnesium deficient. It just won't show up. So it's completely frustrating. And that's why in my book and on my blogs, I've listed the 100 factors that would lead you to believe you're magnesium deficient. But in the final analysis, I end up just telling people that, well, 80% of the population is below the RDA in their magnesium, so chances are you're deficient. And as I said earlier, if you're stressed, if you're run down, if you just had surgery, if you're on medications, then you probably need magnesium. So I just tell people to start trying it to see if some of their symptoms that people might not even recognize. They might not know that their low energy and their slump in the afternoon is magnesium deficiency, or their headaches, or their insomnia, or little twitches, or their constipation. I mean, the list is endless. So it's not something we were taught in medical school to look for. There's no blood test, so doctors do tend to ignore it.
Will insurance coverage the ionized magnesium test that you talked about as the better one?
I have not looked into it. That's a good question. If a laboratory with a pathologist on staff runs a test, I'm sure it's a covered item. It's not that, you know, specialized or, you know, remote that insurance companies wouldn't know about it.
Now, how come, because of all the benefits it has, the drug companies don't even think of using magnesium as part of their medicines? Is there a reason why?
Well, I think you could probably answer that yourself.
I'd ask you first.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Jerry, it's not patented. Nobody's going to make money off a $10 bottle of magnesium. So nobody's putting up the, you know, millions of dollars of research to do a long clinical trial or even a survey of magnesium deficiency. So that's another reason doctors say, oh, well, there's not much science. But in my book, the foreword was written by two magnesium researchers, Drs. Bella and Burton Altura. Together, they've written 1,000 papers on magnesium. And they show over and over and over again the importance of magnesium. A lot of them are animal studies, but a fair number are also human studies using the ionized magnesium test. I mean, they have like before and afters of people with migraines. They say 50% of people who suffer from migraines have low magnesium, ionized magnesium levels. When they're treated with magnesium, their migraines go away and their blood magnesium levels in the ionized form improve. So it's cut and dried, and they're doing this over and over again. And one of the reasons they agreed to forward my book is they sort of stay in their ivory tower of science. They said they're just totally frustrated because the research they're doing is not getting out to the general public.
So you were mentioning earlier about the RDAs for magnesium. Now, RDAs are really set just to prevent things like beriberi and scurvy, as I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you're looking at something really beyond that for looking at optimum magnesium levels, wouldn't you be?
Absolutely. I don't think in the, say, the Office of Dietary Supplements even, they're not even looking at the optimum levels of any nutrients. They just want to make sure people are getting enough that they can squeak by. But in natural medicine, as a naturopath and a medical doctor, I'm looking at preventing disease. So in allopathic medicine, in drug research, nobody's really looking at preventive medicine or optimizing health. So it's a wasteland, basically. And that's where interviews like this, the articles I write, the books I write, I'm trying to encourage people to look toward optimum health, not to wait until they're so sick and they go to a doctor and all they're going to be offered is a pill. You get someone who's under massive stress, they'll go to a doctor and they'll have their blood pressure taken. It's going to be elevated. They're under massive stress. So what does the doctor do? He doesn't say, oh, here's a prescription, take 4 days off work, take some magnesium, have an Epsom salts bath, light a candle, you know, say a prayer. No. They're going to say, oh, your blood pressure's high. Here's a diuretic. And a diuretic, it drains off your fluids whilst pulling out sodium, potassium, and magnesium. The doctor may have the presence of mind to say, I'll be sure to eat a banana for your potassium, but nothing about the magnesium. You come back a month later, and the doctor says, oh, your blood pressure is still elevated. Oh, we just caught it in time. You've been developing high blood pressure for no reason. And here's another two drugs. One's a calcium channel blocker, and the name alone should give it away. A natural calcium channel blocker is magnesium. It neutralizes calcium and puts it into solution. So you go home with three drugs. 2 months later, you come back for your three-month blood test to make sure the drugs aren't totally wiping out your liver. And, oh, lo and behold, now you have high cholesterol and high blood sugar, totally caused by the medications and the way they deplete magnesium themselves. So now you're put on a statin drug and a diabetic drug. You've got five medications for a condition that is obviously a magnesium deficiency.
Now, is there a safe amount of magnesium to be taking as a supplement?
Well, safe, I think we talked earlier, everybody needs a different amount. It's a situation, for example, I think I'm a magnesium waster. You know, my magnesium just goes right through me. So I have to take high amounts of magnesium to control my symptoms. Some people just need the 400, 600 milligrams a day. The RDA is about 400 milligrams. You may get 200 milligrams in your diet. 100 years ago, we were getting 500 milligrams in our diet, so a safe amount for someone, especially if they're under stress, is around 400 to 600 milligrams a day. What the beauty of magnesium is, if you're taking too much, then you do get a laxative effect, and it goes through you. So that's the safety factor with magnesium. With calcium, there's no safety factor. It actually causes constipation. It you know, stores in your body. It precipitates in your arteries. So that's a problem with calcium because the body doesn't have a mechanism for releasing it.
So this would really come back to the ionized magnesium test. You need to get that done probably every few months if you go on a supplement just to see if you're taking enough and how it's balancing out. Because like you said, you burn through your calcium.
It burned through my magnesium, yes.
Magnesium, and, yeah, you wouldn't know what was going on.
Right. Yes, I think if I could encourage people to ask their doctors about ionized magnesium tests, to phone the local labs and say, hey, get this test going for me. Siemens, S-I-E-M-A-N-S, I think it's a laboratory company that makes instruments. Siemens has an ionized magnesium test, and we're actively asking the various labs that make this electrode that tests for ionized magnesium, we're actively asking them to promote their product so that we can get more testing so that people will realize the extreme deficiency that we're under and get more people taking magnesium and knowing that they're taking the right amounts.
So how does your association, Nutritional Magnesium Association, how can that help people who want more information?
Well, when you go to the site, there are lots of articles, there's videos, there's a free booklet, as you mentioned, about magnesium. Just we have a newsletter, we keep people up to date on magnesium information. It's an information site. People can join and they can share stories. I do interview magnesium experts, and we have MP3s available for people to download and listen. So it's mainly education. We're a nonprofit site, so we don't recommend any particular supplements, but there's plenty of information out on the internet and through my personal site, drcarolindean.com, where people can find out about different sources of magnesium.
And the website for the 32-page free magnesium, the missing link to better health, again, that is nutritionalmagnesium.org. Is that correct?
Correct. That's the one.
Great. So for listeners, go to nutritionalmagnesium.org, and you can go to Dr. Dean's personal website also. Say that again, Carolyn.
drcarolindean.com. And on that site, I have an online wellness program, and people can join my newsletter and get 4 free weeks of my 2-year wellness program, because basically it's taking responsibility for your health and learning steps to make that possible. And it's something that occurs over time. This is not a pill that you can eat, drink, and be merry and then take a pill, because it's just not going to help.
Well, I've got to go take my supplement. So, Carolyn, thank you for being a guest today on Healthy Alternatives.
Oh, thank you very much, Dr. Jerry. It's been fun. You take care now.
This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. You can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.